biggest bad boy of podcasting is an entertainment-based wrestling program. The opinions shared are that of the host and their guest. Some celebrity voices are impersonated and usually not well. This program is not intended for kids and certain adults. Listener's discretion is advised. You have been warned. Now let's get ready to podcast.
What's up, everybody? This is AJ Kirsch, a.k.a. Broson Joe Brody.
And this is Follow Bob.
This is Alita.
This is Halston Bobby.
This is Darewolf PJ Black.
This is Kathy Campanelli.
This is Tom Garland. That's right, comedian Tom Garland from the movie Headstrong with Rob Van Dam. And right now, you are listening to the
Vegas Bad Boys.
Vegas Bad Boys.
Vegas Bad Boys.
Vegas Bad Boys.
Vegas Bad Boys podcast. Like, share, and subscribe. And if you don't, you can catch me outside. How about that?
Wrestling talk.
I love wrestling talk.
Is it time for wrestling talk?
Wrestling talk.
I love wrestling talk.
It's time for my wrestling talk.
Don't bother me. It's time for wrestling talk.
Vegas Bad Boys of Podcasting presents Wrestling Talk.
Welcome, 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 welcome to another edition of Vegas Bad Boys of Podcasting. I'm DJ Impact, and I got a few here of the bad boys here with me. Simon Street, how you doing over there?
Man, I'm doing well on this fantastic night.
Yes, Sin City Steve, how are you doing?
I'm doing well. How are you guys doing?
We're still good. We're good. And Matt Michaels?
Hey, what's up?
As you should. Hey, and we don't have King Lucky. He's in Smarkville handling those peasants, you know. So I'm sure he's putting them all in check. This is your
enough
wrestling.
Projections, right?
I'd like to really quick give a quick shout out to everybody who's joining us on Facebook or YouTube or any of the other multitude of streaming platforms that we're on right now.
Mm-hmm.
It is something to where we are interacting with the chat. So feel free, if you want to react to something that we're saying, put it in the chat, and who knows, we might just call it out verbally, or we've been replying to everybody via text-based responses, but who knows, maybe you might make such an amazing point that we have to, stop, take a minute, and talk about it. So you never know.
It's very true.
It is true. All right. Let's get to some wrestling talk. Guys, we had a lot of wrestling last week. Let's start with, I don't have...
A lot of wrestling. It was the same amount of wrestling.
Yeah, but we did have two big events, Simon Street. Go sit in the corner. All right, let's talk about Raw, though, all right? Hopefully you guys enjoyed the show. Usually King Lucky tells me what he enjoys, and we just fall right behind him. But let's just start here. What was some of you guys' favorite points of Raw? I'd tell you the intergender tag team match. I kind of like that, right? You had Sasha and Dolph, you had Asuka and Drew, and you know who got the pin again, right? Boss. So Boss is just, she's doing it up. What are you doing?
That was my Sasha, baby.
Worst, most pissed.
Oh my god!
Impersonation I've ever seen in my life. Street.
Wow.
Hey, all it's right. All good. I'll be a fool for that.
You was getting your boss on, apparently.
Damn Simon right Banks, you are not.
Oh, that's horrible. Oh, that's horrible, Simon Banks.
But anyway, Raw overall. I mean, it was.
Hold on. Let's be fair though.
Yeah.
He's definitely a good Sasha Street.
Ooh.
There you go.
Don't even put that into his realm of thinking.
Oh, that's true.
Because now it's recorded that the phrase Sasha Street exists. So he is just going to his night's made.
I better see it as a Halloween costume.
Look, real quick. Lord of mercy. I'm going to say one real quick. Street Boss.
Street no. Boss, okay.
No, Sasha Street. I live with Sasha Street. I wear a t-shirt.
Well,
anyways, let's go.
Well, hey, I mean, so That was probably as far as a night. I mean, I enjoyed seeing that particular match. But what stood out to any of you all for that night? I mean, there was quite a few matches. You had a Big Show calls out Randy Orton, the Viking Raiders versus Angel Garza and Andrade. Sin City shaking his head like, what? What the heck? Or even the 24/7 championship, Akira Tozawa versus R-Truth. Oh, all right, Sin City, go ahead. Let out your frustrations, man. Let it out.
Okay, so I'm going to start it with something not negative.
Okay.
Okay. I legitimately feel that Peyton Royce has gotten much better in the ring. Mm-hmm, okay. Mm-hmm. It could very well be the fact that she was, you know, dancing with Ruby Riott, who is a great worker. Mm-hmm. Okay. But it was pretty obvious to me that especially that ending sequence with Peyton Royce actually mm-hmm. hitting her finisher. And you know, she looked pretty decent,
yeah.
to say the very least. Normally, she's not the best in-ring competitor on the roster. And I'm just leaving it at that.
Fair.
But it's obvious that she's working and she's trying and focusing to get better. And that's the important thing. Now. Okay.
All right.
So if you look at most of this show, you see a lot of the people that Paul Heyman has busted his ass
mm-hmm.
trying to help get over, and they have been squashed, smashed,
mm-hmm.
destroyed by veteran competitors.
Victimized.
Victimized. Okay, yeah. There you go.
Mm-hmm.
So let's take a look. He had what fucking Big Show, Viking Raiders, Angel Garza and Andrade. Okay. Mm-hmm. Jesus. You have the dude, MVP even. You know, MVP over Apollo Crews. They're cooling down on that, I guess.
Yeah.
Kind of made him look like a little bit of a geek, not gonna lie. So what? These people that you've busted your ass to try to build. Now you're just going to have these veteran workers come back and miraculously get all of their wins back on these new projects that people are trying to build.
Mm-hmm.
And you'll wonder why you haven't been able to successfully build a new star in the last 20 years.
Yeah.
Just like the AEW star that they built.
Oh, no. Yeah. Yeah, we'll get to that. Don't worry. Oh, wait, that's right. He wasn't on the show.
Mm.
Can't talk about it.
Oh, wait. Wait, you talking Moxley?
Yeah, I'm talking Moxley.
Okay, then let's talk about the fresh faces on AEW.
Well, we will. Don't jump ahead, Michaels. I always get ripped after the show for jumping ahead. So...
Michaels, what do you call it? Maybe we shouldn't reveal the whole product just a little bit at a time.
It's all good.
Was anybody happy to see Ricochet?
Yeah, he still works. He's still alive.
Good to see that he's still employed by WWE.
Yeah.
He's still employed.
Yeah. Yeah. Alexander
was buried so deep, he would never resurface.
Yeah. So, I mean, Raw was Raw. That's all I have for it as far as is, you know.
Ricochet was another one that I didn't mention, but, you know. I mean, you got to push Lashley, though. I mean, he's your main event guy. Like, he's in your title match. I get that, but.
Just feeding him people.
Are you liking the you know, MVP's management of Lashley?
I think it's awesome.
I think it is, too.
Yeah.
So then what's your problem with MVP and going over on Apollo Crews?
MVP should not be an in-ring competitor getting wins at this stage of the game.
Yeah, how much more heat? You're pissed right now, right?
What? I'm not pissed.
No, what I'm saying, you don't like that. So that gives him a negative. What I'm saying is you do it to draw more heat. So what they're doing is working.
Mm-hmm. Just making him despicable and unlikable.
Yeah.
Is that what it is? Okay. That makes sense.
A win over someone who is, you know, being looked at by the fans. You know what's going to happen is the moment you get pissed is when it's being done again and again and again. That's when you get mad.
My point is, obviously they just made the change in the writer's room, and this shit all happened all on the same show. And it's just very, very dark and divisive. You know, it's something that's not good. Like you spent essentially most of your COVID era building up these names and, you know, trying to bring, you know, some credibility to some of these people. And now one by one, you just trot them out there and, well, they lose to a veteran. Well, here comes this guy. He's going to lose to a veteran. Oh, these two guys are going to lose to a veteran. Come on now.
I think what would make it a little bit more acceptable, at least in my eyes, if they really put better stock into it to where it wasn't just immediately, bam, there you go. I would feel a little bit more comfortable with it. I'm not as upset as Steve, but I get where he's coming from. Mm-hmm. Because at the end of the day, it just looks sloppy. And that's just my opinion. I'm consuming the product, so if I don't fucking like it, I don't fucking like it. If I like it, I like it. Right now, I kind of don't like it. But then again, with Apollo Crews, I will say this. If he's not going up against MVP and they can't create that, who does Apollo Crews go up against if we're already pairing Garza and Andrade? So let's just be honest on that end too. We're talking about who poses as somebody that could vie for, you know, U.S. title belt picture. I'll wait because I can't think of nobody.
You know what? But in the end, the fact is that you're looking at it from the perspective of, you're basically trying to say that all they're doing is burying.
I wouldn't say burying, but I'm saying like how Steve was saying, like, well, yes, but not in the permanent sense. I just feel like Steve said, he said it perfectly. They take all this COVID era time that they've had to really build up. They put a lot of stock into it. They didn't just give slight pushes.
What has killed these wrestlers? You're saying that they're killed.
I don't think they killed. Let me rephrase that.
Not yet. Not yet.
But the writing's on the wall for some of them.
The writing's on the wall. How long has fucking Heyman been gone?
What,
3 weeks? That's the problem. Like, literally, he just like, things just happened in the writer's room. So,
and what you're doing is you're essentially going, oh my God, look at what they've done. He's only been gone 3 weeks. And they're changing stuff.
No, the entire show was younger competitors losing to veteran competitors. That was the common thread for the entire show. Yeah. What's that?
So what?
Where does it go from there? That's my question.
We don't know because we haven't seen. You're just saying all that. They're just burying them. They're done.
Based on past track record, I'm not very optimistic. And
that's fair to say. That's fair to say.
Based on past track record.
Yeah.
Fine. You can be not optimistic, but to say that, you know, they're doing something until you see what happens, you know, 4 to 6 weeks from now. You know, I mean, if I jumped all over AEW, the fact of the matter is again, you got to see where they're going with the shit, right?
Even in job matches, in on that other show, how many times have people said, "Oh, well, they got in too much offense"? So, I don't know, but it's we'll see. We'll see when we get there.
We'll have to wait.
But my point is, who's looking for that?
Probably a smaller percentage than I probably would be willing to admit. And just being realistic, because in my head, I look at it as I'm probably thinking too much about it. But again, it's from my perspective because I do more than just watch, you know, I mean, I wouldn't say I'm a wrestling analyst, but I would definitely say that I analyze wrestling and weigh my opinions on it.
You are a wrestling
analyst.
Simon Street,
you're a broadcast journalist.
Right.
There you go.
But what's interesting, though, is, and I think this is my problem with that idea and concept.
Mm-hmm.
DJ, you're the perfect example.
Use me.
You just watch.
Yeah.
You just watch. You're just entertained.
Yeah, that's true.
If you don't like a match, okay, you don't like a match. But you're not sitting there going, oh, my God, MVP went over on Master, or on you know, Apollo Crews.
Right.
You know, because the fact of the matter is that what gives you the right, you're not being an analyst, you're being a person who is just criticizing, you know,
mm-hmm.
Step back and just enjoy matches. It's a simple thing to do.
Well, then how is that? How are you able to do that when, all right, let's be honest. Let's look at a basic concept of us wrestling fans. We all have a person or a guy. Almost every time we watch a match, we have someone we're rooting for or someone we would particularly like to win. And I get it. Part of this is the business. I get it. But when often two times when you go to watch these wrestling matches and you pick a person and, you know, you get a dangling carrot in front of you of some hope, which goes and coincides with what you watch and what you expected. And you don't get it. And it's happened year after year after year after year. You can't sit there and say that that's not a valid point either. You know, I think I see both sides of the coin, in other words.
At the same point, at what point do you go, well, fuck Game of Thrones or fuck The Sopranos because I didn't get the ending I wanted?
Did you watch the last series or yeah. the last season of Game of Thrones when everybody complained about the writing miraculously?
But see, going back to what he was saying with me, I didn't trip over the whole Game of Thrones ending. I watched everyone go crazy.
Mm-hmm.
Would I have wanted a different ending? I don't know. I mean, what they wrote a good script all the, you know, from the beginning. So now you're saying they did a good job for what 80 shows, but for 79 show, but on the 80th, which is their finale, you didn't like that because you didn't like it didn't become what your outcome is. Does that make what you watch not good? You know, I listen to people who's like, this is just horrible. It's just, I mean, their whole, you know, just speaking of Game of Thrones, this was just, the whole thing was just ruined because of that. And again, it really isn't that bad. And when it comes down to wrestling, I kind of think of it the same way a lot of times. You know, you watch it. All I ask for is to give me a good storyline and, you know, perform that storyline, and I'm good, however it comes out. There are times, yes, I am fine, you know, I am looking for a certain outcome, and you're hoping at some point you get that. But overall, I'm looking at the idea of storytelling, and that's how I look at, you know, wrestling when it comes down to it. And it seems like a lot of other people, they look at it as, if this person is not getting over, or if this person not doing what I like, or whatever the case, then it's the whole product or the whole thing is just horrible.
Well, not only that, but see,
and that's why WWE gets shits on so much. It's not the fact I'm just a WWE fan or I hate AEW, because I look at both products, and I like some things AEW, but I could point out a lot of mistakes more than AEW has done, only because as someone who's watched WWE for so long, and I believe that they do have a certain standard, there are just certain things that do stand out when AEW does it. You go, and we'll even talk about that when we get on. One thing that irritated me quite a few times that I saw during Fyter Fest, you know, and it's just obvious, and I don't know why this happens, but again, it's all about presentation is what it really comes down to.
But you also got to remember one huge thing.
Mm-hmm.
And that is, you're talking about something that is done on a weekly basis.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
You're it's also indeed. Talking about a product in the WWE where they're not only giving you one product, they're giving you multiple products.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. The fact of the matter is that everyone is coming down on whether it be WWE or AEW as if this last week was the finale of Game of Thrones.
Mm-hmm.
So what I'm saying is, hey, you might not think what they're doing is right or you would do it differently, but the fact of the matter is
that
you're just a fucking fan.
Yeah. Well, that's what I was going to say with regards to Game of Thrones is I did not like the ending. I was one of the ones that didn't like the endings. And I think part of that, too, is because, A, I read the books and obviously didn't get that far in the books. But
did George R.R. Martin.
Yeah, exactly. Right. So it's one of those things to where I still have, since that time, have gone back and watched Game of Thrones, you know, and from season one, slower, binge watching it. And when I get toward the end, I can watch it and not be as obviously rattled as I was when it first came out. And the same is said for how I view WWE product, any other wrestling product, to where I'm seeing a continuous thing that I particularly, my taste don't like. You know what I mean? You get over it and then you're just like, whatever. Do I think WWE has a shit product? No, they have a great product. And I do see what you're saying, Michaels. They are presenting three main shows, let's just be honest, okay? And then that's not even to mention all the external program that they do, the documentaries that pop up. And so, yes, there's a hectic schedule, and I know that they're doing the best that they can. I think my irritation for me personally got more evident for me is when NXT was born, because I finally got what I wanted. And so even still, and I'm not saying NXT don't make mistakes, but I still feel like out of the three shows, I can count on NXT always giving me what I need, even when they make a mistake. And I know Raw is not going to duplicate that. And I know some of it's because it's 3 hours. And I know SmackDown may actually have the formula sometimes, but never be consistent. That's just my opinion. But it just irritates me because I know people on the roster that started on NXT that end up on the main roster. And that's where I'm seeing a deviation.
Mm-hmm.
And maybe it's just the way it's run or whatnot. And I don't want to nitpick and say it's not the same company. I get that. It's the same company. But that's why I feel fine irritation.
But you've got to remember the one thing that I don't think people get is that when people go to, let's say, Raw or SmackDown from NXT, and the fact of the matter is pretty simple. You're entering a new environment. So in middle school, you might have been the shit on the basketball court. You might have been fucking awesome. You get to high school and now you're sitting down on the bench, maybe. Or maybe you're playing some minutes. Or maybe you start it right away. They put you in a football game right away, right? And you were Johnny quarterback and you got sacked 15 times in this game and you fumbled. Well, guess what? The competition's stiffer. All right. And you also have, right now, you look at it, a guy like Roman Reigns, a guy like Seth Rollins, these are the guys they've built, right?
Mm-hmm.
These are their Brad Pitts and their Leonardo DiCaprios.
Mm-hmm.
So how hard is it for you to be able to get into that realm? That's the problem. The problem is that you're talking about a business and these guys are already established. You're looking at from this perspective of, oh, well, I really enjoy Spears is a great example, right? Spears was over in NXT.
Mm-hmm.
He goes up to the roster. People are excited, but what does he actually fucking bring? Oh, they released him. Great. He's going to AEW. This is fucking exciting. What does he actually bring? That's the problem. when you look at all these people and you go, well, they're not giving him a shot. They're not giving him a shot. They're not giving him a shot. They need 20 more fucking shows and 20 more fucking companies to give everyone a goddamn shot.
And I agree with that one, like, especially when it comes to Apollo Crews. You know, I think he's a tremendous, tremendous talent. But even now, to where he's improving on his promos and his mic skills, I say it's still lacking there or wanting more. And that is, I think, an aspect of why.
Who is he? That's the important thing with these characters.
Yeah, good point. That's a good point.
You can push them to the fucking moon. But if I can't tell you who that character is, because honestly, Apollo Crews, he's a great athlete. He's all right on the mic. But honestly, I can't tell you what he is. Who is he?
Yeah, because if you say in that same phrase, who is Karrion Kross, we can tell you right now. And that's already been evidenced since day one. And so you're right. When you do make an impact, and I don't mean a DJ impact because that's just a whole weird type of situation right there. But
yeah.
I will say when you make an impact in anything, some are long lasting and some are just quickly tremors that are forgotten. So
speaking of impact,
yes.
Are we ready to move on to impact?
Yeah.
Impact on impact.
Impact on impact.
You guys want impact?
Oh, yeah.
Ooh, not when you say it like that.
You want the impact.
Whoa, hold on there, buddy.
Scared of you?
Hold on there, man.
Tell me the moose.
Oh, my God.
All right, look. Impact Wrestling was, I was entertained. I'm enjoying it. Of course, they're steady promoting Slammiversary, which I got to tell you, I actually want to watch this pay-per-view. They're doing a very good job with hyping it and pumping it up and got some pretty good matches. For the Impact World Championship, though, Ace Austin versus Eddie Edwards versus Trey and a mystery partner. Ooh,
love who is those. That going to be? Impact loves those.
Woo! Yeah.
Mystery partner or mystery opponent?
Opponent. I'm sorry.
Okay.
Yep. All right. Opponent. Yep.
I got what you said, but yeah, you're right.
So, Bubba Ray?
Mm. I hope not, but it could
especially
be.
After ROH told him to go be a fan.
Yeah. So, yeah. Anyway, that's pretty exciting. On the show, I thought was pretty funny. Impact Management, Scott D'Amore was on the phone, and I guess the North was coming to interrupt him. But one of the things he said while he was on the phone you know what? Yes, you're right. Yes, a couple of good brothers would fit good here. Okay, I gotta go. A couple of good brothers would fit here, huh? All right. Well, what was only interesting about that is I guess I don't know. You may know Sensity more about this. I think I just read that the good brothers are now signed or something with New Japan, right? Is that sort of, I don't know if it's final, but that's kind of been the hint.
So the rumor is that they actually have signed with New Japan, but also with Impact.
Because okay. Impact's the only one that'll let them go.
Impact is the only one that will let them work both Impact roster here in the States and New Japan in Japan. Obviously.
So there's a good chance. All right. So, I like that. I was like, oh, that's a pretty funny little skit. You know what I'm saying? Yeah. You know, on the phone, you know, I got to go. But yeah, the Good Brothers will fit in right here.
So, yeah, I'm sold. I just want to see Gallows and Anderson not under WWE creative control again.
Yeah.
Because they were great. They were great in New Japan. And I really would love to see them taking the knowledge that they picked up while in WWE, going elsewhere and having their fire restored. So.
Yeah. But is Impact the spot?
Well, at least they have a variable though. I mean,
well,
they don't have to stay there.
Yeah, but the truth of the matter is that if you, and again, it comes down to who are you?
Right.
Right. You're right. In WWE, they weren't who they were in New Japan.
No,
not even close.
So, you know what? If it worked in New Japan, my advice, stay in New Japan. Just make the money there.
Mm-hmm.
But I also think that's what they're doing in the end, though. I felt like when I saw this decision, I think that they made the right decision because it kind of in a way has put them the foot in both sides of the door, per se.
Yeah.
You see what I'm saying? Because
without a doubt.
I mean, I honestly think they'll end up in New Japan permanently.
Let's be real. AEW tag division is too cluttered at this point for them. They say what you will, they would end up getting lost in the shuffle. Unless they just made an extreme statement and the fans just went absolutely apeshit for them and demanded them to be at the forefront of that tag division. Realistically,
like they are for the former FTR. FTR, yeah.
Oh yeah, yeah. We'll talk about AEW in a minute.
I tell you what, man. I'm just gonna tell you right now. I'm not gonna say nothing about AEW because I think Steve already got a lot to say. The disclosure of AEW this week.
The point I'm making is, at some point in while they're in Impact, you're going to get the same thing from when they were in WWE. And that is, oh, they're not using them right. This is the problem. The problem is that when you think that from that perspective of the fans, you know, wanting this, that, or the other, if it's not delivered, then it's the company's fault that they're not using them right.
But see, I also say it in a different way, though. I say it in the sense of if you're putting in stock to building in a direction and then deviate from that, retreat, or just cut it all together, that's where I get irritated. I understand that we're not going to fucking get what we want. This is not Burger King of wrestling where I have it your way. You see what I'm saying? So it's one of those things to where we have to be realistic. Is what I'm hearing you say, Matt Michaels. We shouldn't always blame it on the company, but I don't like when they deviate totally from that. I'm like, well, why put the build? Why even try?
Well, I mean, the fact of the matter is, but you just said it. Why even try? Well, you try because of the fact that you might hit on something, right? If you don't try, then why fucking do anything at all?
Well, I think progressively they should get toward it. I mean, and we'll even say, like we said in the past with Cage coming in, totally fully loaded, Terminator style, ready, right? That's not the typical type of scenario, you know what I mean? But there's been times where I think people who needed to progressively get their way up in WWE got released just totally big.
Let me ask you this, though. See, I get what you're saying, but let me ask you this. When it comes to the guys like, Dashon Wilder or these guys, where do they go? They're tag teams.
Yeah, I mean, tag teams is tough.
You know, that's the whole thing. It's like everyone wants all their people to be pushed. I like these guys, so I want to see these guys. Well, the fact of the matter is that those guys are good in a contained role. They were fine with AJ Styles. Was it what New Japan was doing? No. Mm-mm. But you know that. You know that their product isn't New Japan. So why would you even expect that? And that's what I think, that's the problem that's going to be going into Impact. So if Impact uses them in a way that people don't feel they're being used in the right way, mm-hmm. then you're in the same fucking situation. It's a no win. And you're also talking about, if you don't have an ego, if you don't have confidence in what you're doing as a wrestler, then you shouldn't be doing, right? You want to have confidence. You want to feel you're good. All right. That should be fine. But if you have an ego that is open to being fed by listening to the marks on the internet, then you think you're better and are worth more than what you might actually be worth. That's the problem.
Yeah, and we definitely don't want that. I mean, even with myself, let's say in a stupid, crazy-ass upside-down world, if WWE actually cared what Simon Street had to say, I would have a problem with that, because I would be like, well, you're going to piss off a lot of fucking people, because I know I'm a very small percentage of the shit I want to go on.
Well, I'll tell you something else that went on. Moose had a TNA World Heavyweight Championship match against Crazy Steve. Okay. And and he did beat, no, Sin City wasn't you, an actual Crazy Steve wrestler.
Although if you look at the comments,
yeah they from, said you debuted
from three count, I'm supposedly going to be debuting at Slammiversary and winning the world championship. That's
hilarious. There you go.
So I mean, there you go.
That's hilarious. Well, yeah, there was a match, and of course Moose beat Crazy Steve. But you know, right after that, Moose, as he started to attack a little bit more of Crazy, come runs out Tommy Dreamer. Tommy Dreamer runs down to the ring. And by the way, he has
Waddles.
Say it again?
Waddles.
Waddles, yes. Yeah. Out to the ring. And he had his mask on. He had a mask on. So he now starts to help out Crazy Steve. And he thought Moose left the ring. Moose actually didn't leave the ring. Came back and kicked Tommy in the head. Now, you know, he's bleeding a little bit. And
obviously, it's Tommy Dreamer. I mean,
right.
If he's not bleeding, who's bleeding?
So
Ric Flair.
Right.
Yeah, apparently.
And then I got to give Tommy. Tommy's another one of those good guys on the mic, man. He spit a 2-minute promo on Moose. And it sounded some of it will be a little personal. And then I eventually come to find out from, I guess there was an interview on Busted Open Radio where they talked about that segment. And I guess, you know, there has been some tension between the two. They don't really talk too much or whatever. And they go into the story on, he goes into the story on, you know, where this tension kind of started. But yeah, that promo, and if you can find it, I wish I would play it, but apparently only I and my audience list, my podcast listeners will hear it, not the our Zoom listeners, so I won't play it. But if you can find that, Tommy did an awesome video on that. Nevertheless, Impact was great. They did tweet out that June was our best month for views on YouTube of all time. So that's good. I mean, it looks like, you know, Impact is picking up some steam now and getting
himself. I really like how you said we.
Yeah.
Oh. I love that.
Impact is including himself in the Impact roster.
I have.
He's like, fuck it. They need a promotion after me. I might as well just say I'm on there.
Hey, man, me and Scott D'Amore are talking on the side. So I gave up too much talk. I gave up too much information. But anyway, that's Impact Wrestling. No more about that. Slammiversary looking to be really good. So we'll just continue to keep our eyes on that. Okay. Now, do we just want to go ahead and just do AEW first instead of NXT just to get it? Let's just do that. AEW Fighter Fest.
All you, Steve.
You know, I mean, go ahead. I'll tell you my little couple of things, and then, Cincinnati, you take it from there.
Lead in, bro.
The MJ match, first, it was a good match, but I like how he got in the ring and started talking and not knowing that there was a video promo running. So he was and he's almost like wondering why, you know, his voice is not going through, and I guess they had to tell him, man, you got a video package running. But overall, that was a good match. This is one thing that kind of did you say something, Michaels?
Yeah, no, just really quick too.
Yeah.
I was really impressed that MJF was able to get one of Avalon's robes to wear down to the ring.
What was that?
Yeah.
I mean,
not the character. You're right.
Mm-hmm. Pink and green with Burberry print.
Right.
I mean, if it was meant strictly to get heat, I get it. Not a good look.
Character deserves a Flair-esque robe.
Yeah, without question.
Yeah.
That looks like it was designed by like a high school home ec class. Let's be real.
Right. The Sheeta Ford match, so it was good, right? Up until
that was awesome.
And up until I got annoyed with the segment with Kip. The way that he threw, I'm just sorry, maybe I'm nitpicking, but the way that he threw the Kindle stick up in the air, it just shows it was just so planned. Like, remember, we're supposed to just, you know, everything has to make sense. And if you're going to have a stick, if someone's going to, you know, kick you in the stomach, more than likely you'll be able to grab it, you know, from them. You'll be able to knock it out of their hand. But to perfectly just throw it up at the right angle, like it was just...
Or your head's missing.
Where it just practiced like they... And it was great. It was a great throw. And she caught it and used it. That part, I was just like, I wish that didn't happen. Because it just looked too performed. That was my problem. It just looked too theatrical. That was my only issue with that. But it was a good match. The same thing I will talk about, and this is my last one, will be for the Best Friends match, which, again, I enjoy. But I believe it's Trent. Hopefully I got it right. Him and Omega was mostly the ones that was in the ring most of the time. Trent.
Yeah, because Chuck's banged up.
Yeah. Trent. A lot of times, and just go back and rewatch it, this show, because I know I wasn't tripping. I had to rewind a couple of times. He actually does this thing where he's looking back, preparing for the move to come to him, and that irritates me. Don't look back. Just anticipate it coming and prepare to act accordingly. Stop looking over your shoulders and doing it like you're not looking, but you are looking. He also did it when he was sitting down before Omega was about to do one of his kicks. He's waiting for that to go. Stop looking for that. It's so annoying and it's visible. You know, those are the type of things where I was saying when we were talking earlier, that maybe it's just because I've been trained watching WWE so much, because I don't see them do that. Like they're looking to prepare for it to happen. And I see these types of things on AEW where I do see that, and it might be nitpicking, but I just don't like when it happens, because it's, again, you're either doing something that's too theatrical or showing something that's too planned. And wrestling is, although we know it's like that, we want it to be displayed as if it isn't, you know. Overall, though, I enjoyed the show. I'm not saying nothing in the bad show. I'm just saying that it was, you know, and my best segment was Taz, of course. To me, that was actually the number one spot. You know, that's just me, but that was my number one. But I didn't hate the show at all. But I'm going to give it over to you, Sin City, and you tell me your takeover, what you liked, disliked, or whatever.
So you touched on the MJF Wardlow and Jurassic Express match.
Yeah.
I don't know what it is, but Luchasaurus and Wardlow just keep on giving that shit to me. Just
Yep.
I don't want to get burned out on it, but dude, they have something there.
Mm-hmm.
Really good stuff there.
Yeah.
Penelope Ford has come a long way. I talked about Peyton Royce for Raw.
Yeah.
But Penelope Ford has come so far in her training that if you'll think back, when AEW first got up and running, Penelope Ford couldn't convince me that she was a legitimate competitor in the women's division. But now, I mean, they're emphasizing her strengths, utilizing her gymnastics background and everything that she brings to the table. I think that that's a really, really, really good move, to emphasize those things for her.
Mm-hmm.
She and Sheeta had a good match. I wouldn't say it was great. I said it was great earlier, but it was a good match. Mm-hmm. The Cody and Jake Hager match, I don't know. There's just something that was a misfire for me.
Tights.
What's that?
Maybe his tights.
The fact that he was obviously wearing a pair of boxer briefs. Yeah.
It's awful.
Yeah. And the MJF robe, what was up with the wardrobe stuff?
Yeah.
I will say though, Taz obviously was the highest shining star of the entire show.
Mm-hmm.
A close second though has to be the Best Friend's entrance with the minivan.
Yeah, mom dropping them off.
Minivan. That was awesome. Yeah. I had to laugh with that. I do agree with you, Impact.
Mm-hmm.
they do need to shore up the timing issues.
Yeah.
And that's only, that's something that'll only come with more ring time as they, you know, get, as they develop more chemistry between them. And I think that that's something that is glaring in that WWE has the Performance Center. Let's be real. They have, this that's area true. Where, you know, they can build these guys up. I think that a lot of us, me included, jumped into, you know, the AEW fandom with these guys that have already been going for years and years. And for some reason may have just assumed that, hey, these guys are going to be, you know, like a bullet in a gun. You know, you pull the trigger and boom, they're going to go. But that's not the case in certain instances, this being one of them. So, yeah, I completely agree with you. You know, it's one of those things that, especially as I was doing my homework and looking back on the show, preparing for the show, realistically, there were a couple of bright spots for the show, but NXT was just a better show this week without question. And the ratings show it. NXT counter-programmed AEW to the ultimate benefit, and they stole the night. AEW was hyping up Fyter Fest that it was going to be awesome. Now, granted, they ran into some certain things with Moxley. I said earlier that we would talk about that. It definitely makes a difference when your world champion is not on the show, and it's not a recurring thing that your world champion is not on the show. You know, for WWE, Brock Lesnar wasn't on the show. I mean, he missed more dates than he was on. But that was something that the WWE audience was conditioned for. So I think that you're going to see this upcoming week without Moxley on there. Yes, they're going to have, you know, Jericho and Orange Cassidy and all that kind of stuff that they're hyping up, but they will not beat NXT in the ratings again this week. So it'll be 3 weeks in a row, in my opinion.
Let me ask a question to Matt Michaels and Simon Street. Do you believe that Moxley could bring in that extra 100,000 plus viewers when he show up? Because that seemed like that's what they're... they've gotten as high as 900,000, but that's not a regular number that they would have. But do you think that having him on would bring that 100,000 plus viewers onto the show, being that Sin City is seeing their, you know, him being their champion, their main eventer? I'm just curious what you two think.
So one person is not on the show, and people are not tuning in because of it. I don't buy that for a second.
Okay. Simon Street?
I have to kind of go with Michaels on that one, but I will further by explaining one thing, though. That's not so much based on the absence of one person. I think that's more in the absence of a game plan for AEW that they're trying to figure out. Because obviously no one anticipated COVID-19. Let's just be completely honest here. And I think a lot of companies, hold on, Fish, maybe wouldn't thought of that scenario. Like, what if happens right before, you know, a big event like Fyter Fest and we don't have our world champion? When is AEW going to be a little bit honest with themselves? Okay, you know what? We did not have fruitful planning.
But you're looking at it from, first of all, what you just said, the fact of the matter is that you have had all this time. It's not like, you know, so there should have been a plan in place. Absolutely. That's a problem, because, you know, COVID's been going on since March. So have a plan in place. If any of our people get sick, this is what we have to go to, you know, route B. WWE should have been the same thing. There's no doubt. If you're going to run shit while a pandemic's going on, have a couple plans in place. Mm-hmm. No doubt. But what really strikes me is the simple idea of, if you're a fan, okay, and you're watching AEW, now, let's say the difference is the 100,000, Steve. Let's say that next week or in 2 weeks, let's say Moxley's on and those 100,000 know. So then they watch and you get that those extra numbers up. That's a bad sign because that means your
everything's contingent on Moxley.
Mm-hmm. Well, and your marks are the ones who are watching your program, not just regular viewers.
Exactly.
Because a regular viewer who tuned in is not going to be like, oh, Moxley's not on, click. They're going to watch the show because they like the product.
Right.
That's what I've been saying all along. I don't look at it as competition. I look at it as you have to build a product that is not just for the mark base. Mm-hmm. You have to build a product that retains when they first debuted, the first sign that was going to be a problem for them is they didn't retain that audience fully. And that's a bad sign. When you look at the XFL, let's say, debut numbers, whew, both times they did the XFL, huge. But then second week, not as good. Third week, whoa. Fourth week, you know, just ratings-wise. Product-wise, this run of XFL was great.
Way better.
Oh, yeah.
Way better.
So the problem is you have a good product, but now you have to convince people to now watch it and go, okay, you know, that original million that tuned in, you know, we got to figure out how to get those people back and then build upon that. That's the problem. I don't look at one person being gone to me is not a problem. You know, it's a problem that you're losing an audience, but it's not just because of one person. And that's the core of the issue.
I kind of see one thing that might link to that. If you look at the timeline of when AEW really seemed to not be up to par with NXT product, I honestly feel, and Steve, you chime in, when they had the huge Elite versus the Inner Circle, I think after that, I started to see a bit of a decline. And I think maybe that could possibly be the recipe. And I know we talked about it in the show in the past. There's too many factions in AEW, possibly. But do you think maybe that some of the formula of what makes AEW kind of fun is a combination of the factions and having that, I call it the Autobots and Decepticons, mixed in with other things such as new people coming in, new talent coming in? What do you think, Steve?
No, I think that you definitely make a really good point with that. And ultimately, we need to figure out, and ultimately AEW at this point has to figure out the secret sauce. You know, I mentioned that they are like, they've won in the ratings 26 weeks. They've lost 10. And ultimately what was working for them when they were consistently winning? And when they were winning in the ratings, it wasn't like a slight thing. Like, they were top three in the 18 to 49 demographic.
Right.
So at the end of the day, this really will determine how legitimate AEW will be as a, I don't want to call them competition to WWE, because they're not. They, whether or not they will be a legitimate viable alternative, will weigh heavy, or what'll determine that will be how they're going to be able to respond and bounce back from this. If they, you know, don't figure it out and they just kind of peter out and they're done, then, you know, we can definitely go back and we can look at the, you know, the last few weeks as kind of a watershed moment in hindsight that, hey, this is where things started to go wrong. But at the end of the day, they need to self-assess and they need to, quite honestly, you know, figure out what's going on. Now, another thing that people will pair it on about is that they still won. And I can already tell, Michaels, you're kind of recoiling, but
the rebuttal's coming,
but they did beat NXT even this week in the 18 to 49 demographic. which is the demographic that they are specifically targeting, or so they're saying, which is a demographic that they have always done extremely well with. It's no mystery. It's not any kind of a great insight that NXT does an amazing job with viewers over the age of 50. And we've talked about it countless times on the show. And you know, you kind of have to figure, are there things going on outside right now, outside of watching professional wrestling on Wednesday nights, that are impacting, no pun intended, the AEW rating and the demographic numbers specifically?
I could tell you right now, I'll be bold enough to say it. I know a couple of friends of mine who watch AEW a lot, and they've actually been out protesting. And I'm just going to be honest and put it out
there. I didn't want to say anything, but...
I'll say it. Shit, I'm signing the street. That's what I'm here for. I'm going to say what everybody else don't want to say because people don't want to say it. But I will say, if you look at the timeline, based on... And mind you, you can tape stuff and watch it, so it's not the 90s.
Yeah, if you DVR it, it still counts.
I can't believe this. I'm going to fucking stop it right here because I'll tell you right now, and this is what's pissing me off about that whole, well, guess what? These guys probably aren't watching because there's something else going on. I've been saying from the beginning that ratings overall have been going to shit because of the fact that people aren't watching wrestling because of the fucking virus. And then on top of this, now you got all this other stuff. Now you want to say, well, there's other things going on in the world. Yeah, no shit. And it's affecting all of the ratings. Let's face it. Finally, admit up to that people just don't watch wrestling right now. There's other things going on. But on top of that...
And I have to point out, I've never dissented with you saying that. Just so that everybody's clear.
And I'm trying to recall. I don't think I've ever said that either. I'm really trying to recall if I've ever said that. I don't think I have.
Just putting that out there.
I don't know. We can go back in the tapes.
I'm sure we can.
Who wants to do that? DJ, I know you've got time to do
that. Hey, DJ, we need you to go back to the Library of Congress and go back to all the Vegas bad boys.
Oh, my Lord. But
you're right, Michaels.
There's a very good point here, Steve. And I think you touched on it, but you stopped a little bit short. So, yeah, they were number six, but NXT was number 13. Mm-hmm. Now, they should be, AEW should be one, two, or three in that demographic, okay? And if they had, you know, protesters and stuff, if that brought the ratings down or whatever demographic down, okay, that's fine. But at the same time, NXT is going up, okay? So the problem here, I ask, is did AEW fuck up by putting all the emphasis on bringing in guys like Brody Lee, you know, Lance Archer, and now we're seeing it with Brian Cage? First off, if you don't watch Impact Wrestling, who the fuck is Brian Cage?
Yeah.
If you didn't watch the brief stint that Lance Archer was on TV, And here's, you know, because it's a small window. Yeah. But if you admit, who the fuck is this guy?
Right.
And they did make a smart move by putting Jake with him, because at least you have identifiability in that. And hopefully you go, oh, he's supposed to be, he's evil, like Jake, which is all right. Okay. And then Brody, it's, you know, again, did they shot themselves in the foot, building up the Dark Order and blah, blah, blah.
Yeah.
The biggest thing with that is, you're losing what made AEW become something in the first place. The Hot Topic people. All right. The kids who are going to buy the fucking Young Bucks shirts, Orange Cassidy. Why is he so over? Because this is the perfect wrestler for the crowd that you want. It's, you know, that is my frustration. Build people that can achieve that. Be the young, but you want to have that fucking young and fun. Hey, there's nothing wrong with best friends, but I wish that the best friends were ages relatable to people who would find the best friends as a buyable tag team. Mm-hmm. All right. Our people, our age, if we buy into it 5 years from now, you know, who cares?
Well, I thought that's why they paired him with Orange Cassidy anyways, to make them relevant and right. bridge that gap.
But as you're seeing, you know, it's like when you take that away, the magnet, you know, it's funny to see him drive up in the minivan. That's great. But now you're also putting them driving up in a minivan when you put your hottest new tag team that you signed driving up every week. Is that associating? Is the minivan almost an inside rib? You know,
I think it was the inside rib.
Well, how are you looking at it and going, you know? So in the end, that's my problem, is they're losing what they should be winning. And yeah, WWE has fans over 50, which is fine. But NXT, again, if you get the buzz and enough people talking, they're going to start looking at that product. And I think what's happening is AEW is just, you know, is Cody Rhodes cool? You know, I look at it and I go, dude, he's kind of in a lame, you know, he's still a great in worker right now. He's great in ring.
Yeah.
But.
No, Triple H.
Well.
No, and I say that not to be mean, but I'm saying in the sense of him being an executive and being an in-ring performer, and then even now him kind of sliding towards, are you even elite anymore? I feel like that hurts. Yeah, totally.
They're breaking down the character a little bit. I just laughed because of the fact that he did the hammer to the...
Yeah, the hammer thing, yeah. But set that up.
but it is a true question. It's like the TNT title, instead of, and this again pisses me off about networks, because what do networks like? They like people who already are a brand they can just go, here you go. They are the laziest. Networks are the laziest motherfuckers, period. Mm-hmm. I'm sorry. The executives are awful. And one of the biggest problems I said from the beginning is if the network starts getting their hands into creative, watch out, because it's going to be a dumpster fire. And I'm already feeling that from this belt. I don't like the concept at all because of the fact that fucking network is in control of it.
And also, too, they say stupid shit like the belt's not complete yet, even though they're trying to make an excuse for it. I'm just like, come the fuck on. How long did that the prototype of the belt been out? Come on, man. You're fucking lazy. Yeah.
So those are the problems. I think that it's, again, you have something that is based on young and hip. You're getting that audience, you know, tooth and nail, but you should be number one in that audience, or at least 1, 2, 3 every single week, because that is what their product is being branded for.
Yeah.
And, you know, if the kids aren't watching WWE and they didn't know who Brody Lee was, am I excited? Because at first he was a businessman. Now he's just a guy who is menacing and doesn't talk. I'm just confused.
I kind of see your point when you say Brody Lee. And the reason why I say this is because bringing in somebody so grandiose, that, not say he didn't deserve that, but I say it again, and then this is where I get irritated with WWE. Bringing him in just way too huge. Putting him in huge stock. And for me personally, where I see the Dark Order is now is where they should have been in my ideology of what it should have been. They should have came in unstoppable, filled to the nines, and then eventually the end of that segment of the New Order, they finally got broken down after some huge faction war. This, what we're seeing now, what we've gotten, should have been phase two. Rebuild or do shit behind the shadows, whatever bullshit. You know what I mean? Stay quiet. You know, on some total after New Hope into some The Empire Strike Back type shit. But I felt like that was left out. So it's like they brought in the New Order, like it's supposed to be this big fucking thing, you know, and it just went fucking nowhere. You know what I'm saying? I mean, I don't know, Steve, how you feeling, man? Because I'm not excited when I see Brody Lee out.
Not. We'll go back. What's up?
I'm going to give you this last word, and then I'm going to move over to NXT because we could keep going forever.
Yeah, so, no worries. I'm actually just going to read this comment from the chat.
Sure, go ahead.
So Tristan Hampton, he makes a really, really good point, and it's something that we all need to keep in mind. He's saying that you also have the issue that NXT built up their storylines over years. AEW is building their storylines rapidly, but a large portion of it is happening on Dark, and your marks are the people that are following them over to YouTube. Your average watcher is lost when they just watch the mainstream product. And he just says, that's my opinion based on what I see. So yep.
That's a very good point.
Yeah. I can say that they are starting to utilize Dark properly. I mean, they've got the ticker at the bottom of the screen. They're actually starting to talk about it and reference things. It seems like as if Dark is their storyline furthering show, and Dynamite happens to be the match centric show, if that makes sense.
Don't forget really quick, DJ, don't forget too. The thing with something like Dark is that, and doing the YouTube stuff is that, again, that all ties into the fact that that's your target audience.
Yeah.
Because, you know, am I going to run out to the computer to watch fucking storylines? No, just give me them on the fucking TV.
Right.
Yeah. Well, good point. Because I don't watch Dark at all.
No.
Yeah.
No.
All right. Watched Dark one time in the dark.
Well, there you go. NXT Great American Bash. Great show. We've already talked about the fact that it won during the weekend, but let's talk about some of the matches that we saw. I'll just bring up just one, and I'll let you guys just talk maybe about your favorite, what you like and dislike.
Yeah.
The Timothy Thatcher and Oney Lorcan match, I got to tell you, that was definitely different. And because I'm not used to seeing wrestling that, you know, that way, but I was entertained by it. I will say it was, it's different, but I was entertained. Is that something I would want to see all the time? Probably not. Like if wrestling was to become the way they wrestle, if that was the trend, I wouldn't like it, but
get used to it,
but
saw SmackDown, get used to it.
Yeah. But what I saw there, I was pretty entertained, and now I see sort of what, you know, Thatcher's gimmick or character now is about with that, and so with that was a learning experience for me, because I really didn't know what to expect from that match when I saw it, and it came out pretty good. But again, I don't think that would be something I would want to see that type all the time. I mean, someone get on the buckle and jump off or do a flip or something. I'm not saying I need that consistently. I don't. I'm just saying you got pure like wrestling, you know, with this match here, which is something you just don't always see. Outside of that though, I enjoyed the show. I won't even talk about anything else. I'll let you guys talk. What was your personal favorite? Great show though. What impressed you guys during the event?
My bread and butter was Sasha Banks versus Io Shirai.
Yeah.
That shit, one of Sasha Banks' best matches in a long time when her and the Queen was going at it. It was great. They complimented each other's styles better than I thought they would. At first, I didn't know what to expect. It was great. And even the ending, with Asuka coming out and, you know, basically with the distraction and put the spew all in Sasha's face, which, surprisingly enough, Sasha looked very gorgeous with spew in her face.
Oh, my Lord.
No, she did. She looked like a Smurf, like a blue version of Sasha Banks' Smurf. So she was the blueprint.
By the way,
she got blueprint on her face.
You know, that part, that segment got criticized by some.
Why?
Because we're in COVID-19 and you're spitting onto someone's face. It's no biggie. No one's tripping.
It really wasn't a big deal. Yeah. But I will tell you, the biggest part of that match, which made me excited,
sure,
was when Sasha Banks basically jumped through the ropes like a suicide and then went into position to do, I guess you say, the modified wall buckle bomb, whatever you want to call it. Like, I thought that was cool, but then threw her down in sequence. I thought that was cool. That was a cool spot.
Yeah.
And I was very pleased with seeing how they're building up Sasha so much now, to the point to where it's going to get really nasty.
They can't fuck her up, man. They're making her just.
I don't think it's going to be the whole fuck up thing. I think what we talked about a long time ago, about the breakup between Sasha. I think something's going to happen because they're building up Sasha incredibly sound and strong.
Yeah.
Almost build her up to be switching over to face. I'm just saying. I could be totally wrong, but I just have this, you know, I know. I'm just saying.
I have a quick question.
Someone's got to be a baby face out
someone's of someone's got to turn the company, you know.
I got a quick question for Michaels. I remember last week, I remember we were talking about the match with Robert Stone, and you had said or that he, I mean, Rhea's got to lose. It just makes the most sense because, you know, and I thought that's kind of maybe what's going to happen, but that's not what happened. What's your take on, was this a missed opportunity for this? I mean, should Robert Stone be managing Rhea or this, or now that you see it played out, you agree with what you saw?
You know, it comes down to, once again, not knowing what their direction is.
Mm-hmm.
What are you exactly trying to achieve with Robert Stone's character?
Right.
Because not only did she win, she beat two people.
Yeah.
One was a man. So, I mean, just look at those factors, right?
Right.
And then not only did she beat them, but she buried them. She beat the snot out of them.
Yeah.
Which was entertaining and great. But it's like, so where, because Robert Stone, you can basically go anywhere with right now.
Yeah.
Good character. But Aaliyah, that's kind of like the, whoa, what are they going to do with her?
Right. Yeah. Because,
and this, I really, really seriously, this is the difference between what goes on in the main roster. Main roster, they're not concerned with characters. They're concerned with selling. They want to sell t-shirts. They want to sell toys.
Mm-hmm.
You know, they want to keep kids interested. They want to make conglomerates. All right. That's what Austin was. That's what The Rock was. It's what Hogan was. All of them. Conglomerates. What you have in NXT are fucking characters. And Aaliyah, it scares me because she's got
third iteration.
But what is she right now? What is she? She doesn't have that character yet.
Loser. And,
you know, so maybe just get her off TV for a while after this loss. Separate her from Stone. Have Stone go on. I think that Stone would be awesome with an actual heel who is like a monster heel. You know, a guy who doesn't talk well and you need a mouthpiece because that character is so Bobby Heaton-esque, so chicken shit, you know, Cornette-esque, you know, when you look at the way those guys manage, it'd be beautiful to put him with, you know, someone who's just a monster. Because then you could have, you know, you could have him say anything.
What about that guy from Glasgow? I always forget his name. Harry guy.
Who, Killian Dane?
Killian Dane.
Oh, I thought you were talking about Drew McIntyre.
Probably. I probably mixed him up. Shame on me. Slap me on the hand. Okay. But yeah, Killian Dane. I think that would be a good setup.
That'd be interesting. But, you know, and again, you'd have to – the problem is sometimes what all companies do. Is like Killian Dane, you started to reestablish him, you brought him back in, and then he's gotten his ass handed to him too.
Yeah.
So there's no real sense yet. But that's what you need. Which brings me to my fucking highlight of the week, and that was give me a good strap match any fucking day. Wow. Wow.
Oh man, how many times they say kept saying, and I know it's inappropriate, I don't give a shit, but they were talking about and Cole with the strap on, or not Cole with strap on, they were saying, say with the strap on, they kept saying with the strap on. I was like, why do we keep saying with the strap on? It doesn't sound right. I wasn't entertained by that.
So anyway, it was.
it was just crazy. It was a good match, but I just didn't like the wordplay. They could have gone to something.
It really was,
yeah.
If you want to talk about just what a crazy story buildup.
Mm-hmm.
That Roddy's just out of his mind, freaking out about this whole thing. He got stuck in a truck. I mean,
yeah,
stuff that it's just wonderful. And to execute the match the way it was executed,
mm-hmm,
was just, it was great because, you know, Loomis is on his way up.
Mm-hmm.
Roddy doesn't lose anything.
Mm-hmm, right.
But he also got an extra layer to his character that was never there.
True. So
now I got to see him react to Kyle in a beard when he realized it was Kyle, right? That would have never happened if this wasn't going on.
Right.
That's what, when you say why wrestling fans like wrestling, it's because of shit like that.
Yeah.
All the, every other show, period. Maybe NWA is the closest thing that does. But take a cue from NXT and just start just building characters that have these stories, man.
Yeah.
Because it's fun. Look what they did with no planning. Mm-hmm. We're going to put out a pay-per-view in a week.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
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 Okay. Shit.
Sin City, man. What you got, man? What's your any takes from the show?
The I thought that the women's Fatal 4-Way was an amazing way to start the night. I mean, it was just spot after spot after spot.
Yeah.
All four ladies just kicked all sorts of ass. And it was a great match from beginning to end of that.
Yeah.
And it really did set the tone for the rest of the night. I mean, very, very few slow spots, which was a microcosm for the rest of the night. I mean, as you look at the card, I mean, the only thing that was even a slight bit of a misfire was the Breezango Drake Maverick thing.
Right. Yeah.
But I mean, that wasn't even that bad of a segment. NXT fired on all cylinders the entire night. And by God, motherfucking Cameron Grimes continues to kill it every week.
He does.
Hey, I would be remiss if I didn't mention it, especially King Lucky. I know you're watching. I know he's your boy. So I had to mention him for you.
Mm-hmm.
You know, but the funniest thing about that is when DJ and I went to NXT's house show in February,
mm-hmm,
you know, I told you, you know, I'm just the thing I like nudged him. I'm like, see what he's doing with Keith Lee. It's fucking amazing because he's an A+ worker.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And it was amazing to watch him work. And I hope that there's more people like King Lucky, because if there are, that means he's doing his job right.
Yep, exactly.
Mm, yeah.
Yep.
Grime time, baby.
Grime time to the moon. Woo!
All right.
That hat, I love that fucking hat.
And it all ends when he comes out with the Confederate flag.
Oh, shit. That's over.
I know, right?
Oh, man, that's over.
Well, let's jump over to the best show of the entire week, SmackDown.
It's the best show with the most misplaced theme song.
Are you ready?
Are you ready?
Never. Not for that theme song.
Nope.
I guess the only take I wrote down from watching the show, I mean, you know, it was what it was, but Matt Riddle's, the segment in the ring with him and Cole, that was just blah to me. I was just like, this is horrible. I mean, you know, I don't know. I mean, I know, I don't mind the bro, you know, constantly, but trying to, I guess, figure out what to say, or even being thrown off by a fan yelling, and you know, and it throws you off then what to say next, and it just, that whole segment was just kind of like whatever. That was my take on that. And of course, we name them again because they're just that good, man. Sasha Banks and Bayley, the segment again.
Yes,
their video segment.
That was nice.
And the fact that, and tell me, I mean, it was funny. You know, my wife and I was watching this, and she just, I never seen her laugh this much when Bailey was doing the imitation of Taker calling her and what he was saying. She was just dying over there, and I was like, yeah, it's pretty funny, you know, that Taker got the phone and called her and said all these things. Great segment again from them. And that, I mean, that's kind of, now when I watch SmackDown, I got to be honest, I'm really seeing what Bayley and Sasha's got, you know, playing. That's what it's about. But that's my take for SmackDown. With you guys, likes, dislikes, what you got?
Well, I really enjoyed, and we talked about it earlier, or you talked about it earlier, seeing that pure wrestling, you got to see a pure wrestling, you know, with AJ Styles and
Gulak.
Yeah, Gulak. I mean, that right there, even to where you got to see in depth AJ Styles, you know, wrestling, pure wrestling pedigree come in, to where you started seeing a little different for the WWE that he's given so far. Less flashy, more grounded bound. And I appreciated every moment of it. That's why I say get used to it, Impact, because I think not only just what we're seeing, I think that their age demographic is really liking it. And we'll see down the road. We don't know. I mean, I don't have numbers in my head, but I enjoyed it. Also, too, I liked how Sasha and Bayley had their own thing. And then when they did bring out Alexa Bliss and Nikki Cross, I did like that they didn't totally kill it. You know what I mean? And it was very interesting how they showed that basically Nikki Cross could have been, was it 324 heir to the throne? I thought that was cool. Because really, if you look at history, for a long time in the history, they would have bloodlines that would almost divide. And I'm saying she's not part of that. But it was interesting how she put that across. how some people try to claim to the throne.
Ladies and gentlemen, this is his take from SmackDown. My favorite moment is when Nikki Cross...
I thought it was cool, man. It was outside of the box. I wouldn't expect him to try and come up with something creative like that. I got to give him dues, you know? And I got to see Sasha. So, I mean, I get to see Sasha three times a week, so the world is great for me.
Okay.
The best thing about this whole period of time is the fact that everyone fucking hated Bayley's heel turn.
Right?
She's the best heel in the business.
She's awesome.
Yeah.
I've said it since the turn. She's awesome.
I've enjoyed it.
Same here. And I think that what you're going to see is, like you said, the anticipation, Sasha going face. It might backfire because Bayley's such a good heel. She's getting more of a fan base now too. That when you put one of them in a face position, especially if it's Sasha, Bayley's going to, I think, then become the face through the heat.
Wow. Yeah, I see what you're saying.
Yep.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Well, if they spoon feed it like they've been doing with us right now, they're really getting, at least for me and when my daughter does watch it, I was like, wow, they really do act like best friends, like girls. And I was like, well, what do you mean? She says they kind of, at times you can see where the frenemy's about to come out.
Let me.
I don't know. I don't know what that whole phrasing is because I'm not a 15-year-old girl. No. But I am. What?
The way you said it is that you just, it was as if you made it like they're acting like they're friends.
Well, I know they're friends in real life, and she knew that, but she was saying that.
But that's why it works.
Yeah, that's what I'm saying. Yeah, well, obviously it's natural chemistry.
Yeah.
Yeah, you can't do this kind of shit with just two random, you know, even if they've been working with each other for 10 years.
True.
Sometimes you don't have that inside chemistry.
Yeah.
Speaking of chemistry, the brightest spot, or I wouldn't say the brightest, but one of the things that really stood out to me was the chemistry between Riddle and Morrison in ring. I think that for as lackluster as the Riddle promo was, the Riddle and Morrison in ring match was equally as impressive. And I would like to see more of that, please, maybe on a bigger stage give them some time and not a bullshit finish. Okay, thanks, bye.
Well, you know what? You made a good point, Steve, because I think you're also possibly, hopefully, going to see Ziggler and Miz working with them too.
Yep.
Think about those three seasons guys working with
Riddle.
Oh, my God.
Just season them on up.
Yep. Yeah. Yeah. Give me some more. I love it.
Yeah, that move, I don't know what it's called, but the one where he has his neck, Morrison has Matt's neck, and he just flips him over just from standing, you know, whatever.
I love how you say that. That's cute. That's cute.
So anyway, yeah, that's probably that's an impressive move, and I thought that was a good match. Watching,
without watching question,
them, yeah. But there's one question I did want to ask you, Michaels. I wanted to go back to right quick. The dilemma that you were saying that could possibly happen with Bayley becoming just as popular, if not even more, is there a way that, so if just like how you see this now, if WWE was to see this, is there any way to control that? Because if you want Sasha to be the one that is the main one to become the face or the more popular of this rival, is there anything that can be done? Like, do you slow down Bayley's, what she's doing now? Is there any way to control it, I guess what I'm saying, so they can get the outcome they want, or you just go with it and however it comes out, they just do what they normally do?
You know, unfortunately, like we said, the main roster is about the cash. So basically what you would have to do is, first of all, you have to have the split. Mm-hmm. And you have to have it where Sasha has a viable reason for this. Like, you know, if Bayley basically threw her to the wolves or something, you know what I'm saying? Like,
yeah,
kind of like push in that way, then that's something that will build a little heat on Bayley, which is good. Mm-hmm. And give Sasha the sympathy, and then you can start that run of her as a babyface singles. What you're going to have to do is take your time to distance it, because basically if you go straight into it, then that's where you're going to have this awkwardness where it might not catch, because of that fact that now you have Bayley possibly saying things that fans will get behind instead of them getting behind Sasha.
Right.
Yeah. So if you could, you know,
yeah,
have Sasha feud with someone else for a while, or have Bayley move on to, you know, someone, distance them for a little bit, but have them still in each other's peripherals.
Got you. Okay.
You know, personally, the best way to do it is for, hopefully, Sasha to basically get, like, let's say the NXT belt, give her something to, you know, maybe even take the championship off of Bayley, put it on someone else, and then have that other person lose it to Sasha. This way they never cross paths on the belt.
Well, they almost look like they're splitting them up anyways. If Sasha is successful in defeating Asuka and she's on the Raw, I foresaw it as, even if they both had title belts, eventually that just to me means the tag team belts are going to be, they're going to split at some point.
And let's put one on, you know, Raw and Sasha, keep SmackDown on Bayley, and then have the NXT title become vacant, and then have the two women's champion wrestle for the NXT championship. There you go.
Thank you, King Lucky, for that. Yeah. That was truly some of your best work.
Oh, man.
Rumor has it.
That's a hell of a fucking rumor.
Well, guys, that is SmackDown and our wrestling talk. So, I mean, we got a lot to look forward to this coming week. We got the second night of both Fyter Fest and for the Great American Bash. So we got that to look forward to. And with that, we're just going to, I guess, give our final thoughts for the show. And let's start.
with Simon Street, man. What would you like to leave us with?
You know, just everybody continue to be out there and be safe. I hope everybody had a fantastic 4th of July. And, you know, I just, you know, I wish everybody the best, you know. And as far as for me, I'm going to be doing Streetside Streams tomorrow.
Oh, okay.
Going to be streaming some more Destiny. A lot of stuff's coming up. Again, in July, I'm super excited for a wrestling game coming out.
Okay.
Hopefully some other people will buy it on PC and play it with me. You know, just keeping it moving. Keep like a wise man told me before, keep on keeping on.
Yeah. It's interesting because that same wise man told me, let a beaver be a beaver. You know?
Touche. Looking right back at you.
Sin City Steve, man, what's your final thoughts?
Thank you guys for hanging out with us. And it's been a rather arduous task. I know that we went on a couple of rants tonight, but thank you so much. Yeah. And thank you to everybody who popped into the Facebook chat, the YouTube chat with us.
Mm-hmm.
We're gonna have more of a pronounced presence there, and we're gonna be reading your stuff more frequently on the air. So yeah, if you feel inclined to say something, say something. Chances are it'll end up being read on the show. As we get out of here, I'd just like to remind everybody, this show, we do have a little thing going right now with Rep Sports, makers of the Raise Energy Drinks,
mm-hmm.
Among all sorts of other things. You know, they've even got protein popcorn, for the love of God. But yeah, pre-workout, weight loss, all that kind of stuff. Go there, get some product,
yes.
And use our coupon code at checkout, which is just Vegas. VEGAS.
Yes.
Use coupon code Vegas at checkout. You'll save 15% on your order. And I've actually got a box of stuff coming to us that I will be doing an unboxing video for our channel.
Okay.
And I'll show you guys what all will come in that promotional box that you yourself can get your hands on as well. So keep your eyes open for that. And until next time, we'll check in with you.
Matt Michaels.
Hey, all you Democrats out there, listen to me. Masks are very important.
Mm-hmm.
Wear them.
Mm-hmm.
All right. It helps prevent you giving something to someone. So therefore, if you're wearing one and someone else is wearing one, you're not giving anything to each other.
Mm-hmm.
So definitely wear them. The virus is very, very real. You know, this is no bullshit.
Mm-hmm.
So please just make sure that you're taking care of yourselves, neighbors, and just, you know, making sure you're doing good. For your Republicans out there,
mm-hmm.
You don't have to wear a mask. It's all bullshit. All right? don't share this with anyone else, but between you and me, they fucking made this shit up. All right? So just don't wear a mask. Everything's cool. Hey, have you seen how empty the beaches are? Fuck, it's your chance to go to the beach.
Oh, man, everything fun. That he just said is a fucking joke.
Hey, real quick, vote for Kanye 2020, because that's real news.
Oh my God.
Fuck that shit.
Fuck the division. Fuck the division. This is a time where we need
to play. Hey, I like the division, too. I played a division, too. Go, one of the best Ghost Recon games ever, man.
Oh, God. With that, guys, thank you for listening. Continue to tell your friends all about us. Let them know, hey, man, I got this podcast. You got to listen to them because, hey, in the podcast match, we're related to some of the top podcasts that's out there. So give us a try. Tell your friends about them. Let us know. Hit the subscribe button. And we'll love it, all right? So until then, we will see you next week. We're out. Peace.
Vegas Bad Boys of Podcasting.